Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you, Scott. And whoa, those temperatures predicted for this upcoming week. I stepped out the door this morning and, ooh, that breeze was so cool. I thought, I should have a long sleeve shirt on. But nope, I didn't. I just toughed it out. But anyway, what is your plant world doing right now? Is it okay? Better watch out, especially with those temperatures going to where they are. Anyway, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, here's the phone numbers. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We're going to be doing the Good Gardening Stroll shortly, but after that, we'll discuss what's impacting trees, perennials, that low spot in your yard that keeps having these same stupid weeds, which are who knows what. Anyway, how about in the outdoors? Yes. How about inside your tropical world or the tropical world that you take outside and put it on your deck or your patio or whatever, your front porch, and then bring it in for the wintertime? Are your dogs, like last week somebody called and said, you know, we're having real problems with our backyard. We have four dogs. Whoa, soil compaction and all kinds of other stuff going on there. Anyway, I'll share my knowledge, help you make good decisions, but the action you're going to take is going to be strictly up to you. And this is your show, and I appreciate you having me into your plant world. Yes, having me over. Another very important player is Drew. He's producing again today, so he's stuck on the Garden Hotline. Anyway, I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. Besides our Saturday morning get-together, I can come to your plant world for an on-site consultation, a walk and talk. Today after the show, I'm headed to the area right around the Botanical Garden on Floral Place, so that's where I'm going right after the show is over. And you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, there's my email address and phone number if you'd like to schedule one. Well, let's get strolling. This walk is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Before the walk, if you remember, Monday is going to be August 21st. And that's a very important day. For Tracy, it's a very important day for a couple reasons. One, her father's no longer with us, but that was his birthday. So she sort of always celebrates his birthday on August 21st. But on August 21st, 2017, that's 6 years ago, that was a full solar eclipse. We went to down into Farmington to Twin Oaks, which is a winery. And we sat there with those cardboard glasses and just watched the eclipse. That was great fun. So I wish there would be another eclipse. But anyway, let's go to the Good Gardening Stroll. Between 16th and 18th Street along Market, there's maiden grasses. There's double-flowered Rosa Sharon. There is a lawn area that on one side has Ryerson steel edging, the other has granite stone edgers. This cool breeze was causing The multi-trunk trees and the blooming hydrangeas still had some flowers on it to dance the cha-cha. They were really kind of boom, 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 boom. Golden rain trees, their pods were decorating the bark and rock mulch areas. Union Station clock tower rockets into the blue, wispy, clouded sky. And there's granite steps that climb to the doorways. Virginia creeper was hugging a wall. It wasn't supposed to be there, but it was saying, so what? You can't do anything. Big oak tree anchors the corner. And with lawn underneath it, there's other varieties. There are more miscanthus and Rosa Sharon. And all this is part of the United States Post Office. That's that big building downtown. Right across the street from Union Station. It is unbelievably amazing. Some of the signage along there, Rally Point 6. Now, I'm not really exactly sure what Rally Point 6 means, but anyway, 30-minute parking is another sign, and no eating, drinking, or smoking inside the post office. And something I found that I've dropped off mail there a lot because it's a drive-by thing where you can drop it into the mailboxes. But there is an old mailbox which contains no mail, but evacuation supplies. I thought, old mailbox with evacuation supplies. Wonder what the evacuation supplies mean. But anyway, so if you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's go ahead and get into Carol's yard before we take a break. Hi, Carol.
Hey, hi, Mike. I appreciate your information. I have some peony plants that have so much mold and fungus on them. Can I cut them back now?
Yeah, it's probably to the point where you can. But yeah, the peonies, just that's one of the things that just happens to them, unfortunately. But yeah, it's once they start getting, you know, basically covered with the, you know, powdery mildew and things like that, then you can go ahead and cut them.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
Appreciate that.
Sure. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, they're spectacular. They're, you know, really tough and durable, but there's no way to kind of prevent that I can, you know, that I know of anyway. Let's go now to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Well, that man asked my question. My peonies look horrible. I mean, they're actually, the leaves are dry, and they just, yeah, they're covered with that powdery mildew. And that was my same question. Is it too early to cut them back? Because I know the longer they're out there, the better blooming you get the following year, but one of them really looks all dried up and dead.
Yeah,
know?
But they're not going to be producing anything that's going to be functional or help the overall health of the plant once they get to the point whether they're withering or drying or covered with powdery mildew or anything. So, yes, certainly go ahead and cut them.
Well, all right, then. Thanks so much.
Yep.
And thanks for your show.
Sure. Yes, your show.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over and see what's going on in Jerry's yard. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a question about my turf. I think I put down a little bit too much weed and feed. I put down 4 applications at 6-week intervals, April, May, July, and yesterday. I'm wondering how much trouble I'm in. I know this is way too much.
Well, it's not necessarily too much, but, you know, as long as you watered it in and followed the instructions and everything else, you should be okay.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know I'm only supposed to put down 2 in the course of a year.
True. But every year is screwy and different and everything else, so you should be okay. So
as long as I keep it wet, I'd be okay.
Yeah, if you think that you're only supposed to put it down twice, how come you did it four times?
Well, I didn't read the very, very fine print at the bottom of the label. I read everything else but that. Otherwise, I certainly wouldn't have done it. But so I thought, well, I know Mike has an answer for me, so you think I might be okay?
Yeah, just make, you know, you might want to do some extra watering if we don't have any rain or anything. So
I have irrigation, so I think
okay, good.
I'll just start doing that. Okay, Mike, I appreciate it.
Yep.
And that's, thanks so much.
Sure. And that basically, by doing the watering, it will just dilute it, get it, you know, down. But you may be okay. So, I mean, like I say, every year is going to be different and screwy and all that stuff. Let's go and see what's going on with Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Mike. I couldn't get my grass cut until April 15th this year for the first time, the first mowing. As a result, the grass was high, and I saw a weed that I had never seen before in my yard, and I identified it as hairy bittergrass. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Okay, it's got like a clump at the bottom. And then these tall stalks came up. So anyway, they cut my grass for the first time, and it was like, good, I'm glad to get rid of all that. But then there were a few of them on the edges and the perimeter and into beds where they didn't mow, and I went to pull them. And they, again, they were mature. They had those little skinny stalks. As I pulled them, the seeds were just flying out, almost like bursting. Yeah, almost like bursting out. So my question is, will a fall pre-emergent application take care of those seeds, or am I going to have this hairy bittergrass problem for a longer time?
You probably should do, you could go ahead and do the fall just in case, you know, to help with any other type of weeds. But for the most part, for the, you know, for the plant that you described, you should use a pre-emergent when the forsythia is in bloom.
So more of a spring, but
right.
Okay.
Because it's a summer it's a summer grower, and that's why you want to do it in the springtime.
Okay. Yeah. It was everywhere.
Ooh.
I had never seen anything like this.
Wow.
Yeah, it was everywhere. Okay. Well, I'll do the fall as a precaution, and then I will definitely do it in the spring as well.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you can basically put the pre-emergent down from this point forward. I'd get it down before, you know, too much into September. And then, like I said, for the, you know, the hassle that you had, you want to do that next spring when the yellow forsythia is in bloom.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the fall pre-emergent can go down this week or next week.
Right.
Okay.
Make sure you read the label, because don't put it down if the temperatures are going to be like 100 degrees.
Right. Exactly. Weather dependent. Okay.
Right.
I've only gotten the granular. Is there a liquid pre-emergent?
Not really. The granular is most effective.
Okay.
I mean, there are some liquids, but the effectiveness is going to be somewhat minimal.
Okay. I will read the instructions. All right, Mike, thank you so much for your help.
Sure, my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And now let's head over and see what's going on in Joe's yard. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two questions. One's about watergrass and one's about Bermuda grass. But watergrass, I've had nutsedge, I've had crabgrass. I got those taken care of. But this watergrass, I can't figure out what to do with it. So I'd like your thoughts on that. And then secondly, on Bermuda grass, I had some in my yard. I killed it off. Then I had the sod around there all removed and replaced. 3 years later, the Bermuda grass is coming back. So I assume it really wasn't killed off or removed.
Right.
Any thoughts on more permanent solution to that.
Yeah, I mean, Bermuda, once it's established, I mean, there are some really, let's say, strong type of herbicides that will get rid of the Bermuda grass, but, I mean, you just have to be really cautious to use them. But this, you know, it's a product, you know, it's called High Yield is the name of the company, and it's a Bermuda grass killer. But you cannot use it if your lawn is zoysia. So if you have a cool season lawn, you can use it to kill the Bermuda grass, but don't use it if you have zoysia.
Okay. High Yield. What was the last part?
Just Bermuda grass killer.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And the water grass?
Yeah, and basically, you're just going to have to go after that. It's in your lawn, so there's not really too much you can actually do unless you have big, let's say, big patches of it. Then you can go after it with a grass killer on that, you know, in the big patch areas. But if you just have individual, you know, clumps of grass, then you're not going to be able to use it.
So, yeah, I have bigger areas, so will it kill off the good grass too?
If you get it onto the good grass, yes.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I mean, you can't get something that's going to be selective enough because the water grass is not necessarily, you know, my thinking is it's not an annual, you know, grass. It's a perennial type grass. And you might try pre-emergent with it, but for the most part, it's going to be a real difficult situation.
All right. Sounds tough.
Yeah. So, unfortunately,
right,
there's no good answer for lots of different, you know, situations.
Yeah, it seems to come back late July and early August.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Sorry. Yeah, it's, gardening here is
ready to level up. Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Very, very, it's a challenge. Let's put it that way. And now let's go over and see what's going on in John's yard. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hello.
I've got a question. We've got this sweet gum tree in our backyard, and this summer we noticed that individual branches, not the whole thing, it's still got a good canopy, but individual branches are turning brown, losing their leaves. It's kind of a two-part question in that, you know, what could this be first, and then second, we were thinking about getting the injections this year to keep the sweet gum balls from developing and dropping, and
right.
Could that potentially worsen whatever this, I'm assuming, disease might be with this tree?
What's the diameter of the tree, or how old is it? Let's put it that way.
I'd say it's a good sized tree. It's probably 60 or 70 feet tall, probably about two and a half feet wide.
Right. So probably the branches dying off is just, you know, part of the aging process. So in other words, these are branches that are being overpowered by branches that are higher up and shadowing and things along that line. But there's not, and the injection, as far as that goes, that's, I'm not saying it's not effective, but it is effective. It's just sometimes the timing is going to be really crucial, so you're going to have to get a really good tree service that can do that for you.
Okay. Do you have any advice on identifying who, you know, is going to be legit versus not as capable when you're looking for an arborist who can do that?
Yeah, I would say just make sure that they, you know, that they are licensed arborists and not just tree people. Let's put it that way. So
that's helpful. Thank you.
Right. And you can always check with the Missouri Botanical Garden website and see what they have as far as in relationship to if they have a list of people that they would recommend. But there's several really good tree companies in the metropolitan area that are very capable of doing lots of different things. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I guess we cut John off, and so we're going back to John. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
I missed the last part of your question of your answer. Sorry about the licensed arborist. That was the last thing I'd heard. So sorry about that. I think my phone just cracked out on me.
Right. Oh, the other thing was just to check with the Missouri Botanical Garden. Go to the website mobot.org and see if they have a list of recommended arborists.
Okay, mobot.org.
Right.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Right. And so thanks, John, and let's go now to Michael's yard. Hi, Michael.
Appreciate your time. We're starting to think about getting ready for fall and specifically overseeding. So kind of leaning towards doing like a tall fescue, but was wondering if you'd recommend blending that in any percentage with like a ryegrass or Kentucky bluegrass or something like that.
And I would just get a blend of the fescues. There's several different types, and that's better off than trying to throw all this other stuff in with it because they don't grow the same and they're not going to look the same, and it's going to just make it look weedy and patchy and not all that good.
Okay. Well, that makes it easy enough. Second question I had is I'm planning to kill some honeysuckle that's grown in the woods behind my my yard here. And I remember reading that the best time to do it is in fall when the plants are starting to store carbohydrates in their root system. So cut it off, paint it with Roundup. So is that like October? Or can I do it pretty much any time now?
Pretty much any time now. Just make sure that the Roundup that you use is for killing woody plants and not just regular Roundup.
Right. Okay. I can do that. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's see what's going on in Roger's yard. Hi, Roger.
Good morning. How are you, Mike?
Very good.
I've got a rhododendron that's probably 6-7 years old. And for some reason, the leaves are starting to roll up on it. And I'm concerned it may be dying. And I wondered what might be causing it.
All the foliage, all the leaves are curling?
Not all of them. It's kind of starting a branch at a time.
And is it like the leaves that are closest to the interior part of the plant and not on the end of the stem?
It's more along the end of the stem and then gradually works its way in.
Okay. Oh. It may be, as long as it, you know, rhododendrons just don't like it here all that much. And with our weather being as screwy as it is, this particular one, even though it's, you know, you've had several years of good health or growth out of it, it might just be the fact that the weather this year just didn't like it. Now, are you fertilizing?
Yes.
Okay, so you're using an acid-based fertilizer, and you're making sure that it hasn't gone through any kind of drought stress. And if it's just individual, you know, branches, and you still have a lot of good, healthy-looking branches, then there's this is just kind of the way it goes with them.
Okay. One other quick question for you. My tomatoes did absolutely nothing this year. In the past, I've had up to 1,000 tomatoes off the four plants. This year, I got 5 tomatoes off 3 plants.
So, again, and you planted them in the same place, did the same fertilizing and everything else?
Yes.
And you got the same varieties?
I mixed my variety, but mainly Early Girl.
Okay. So, yeah, why you didn't? I mean, we've had through the entire summertime, lots of people have had trouble with their tomatoes this year. So, for whatever reason, they've had success like you have in the past but things just never got going for them this year. So I would say don't, you know, you can remember it, but just don't worry about it next year and just go back and do your regular routine.
All right. I kind of neglected my plants this year with a kitchen remodel, but I appreciate your input.
Ah, so, well, that was a little bit because, I mean, we had some stretches of really dry, you know, dry periods and things like that. And so, and the early girls, they should have, you know, been producing, well, obviously early. That's why they call them early girls.
Well, they were early. It's just not many.
Well, just next year, next spring, just, you know, get them in there and don't remodel your kitchen.
Hopefully the kitchen will be done by then, but thanks for your help.
Sure. And now let's head over to Ann's yard. Hi, Ann.
We have two neighbors that run their sprinklers 24/7.
What?
And they run their sprinklers every day. And they, it's kind of creeping into our yard, and our sod, our grass is getting sour, and we can't plant anything in that area because it's so wet. And we've kind of, so I don't know if can we build a trench or what? Do we dig up the sod and throw it away and wait till spring, till next year?
Well, you probably the best time, you know, if you're going to do seeding or sodding, fall's by far the best time because the ground is warm and the root system will take off. But I would say get a hold of a landscape service and see about getting a French drain put in. And that it's an underwater pipe, basically, or underground pipe. And as the water would run towards your property, it'll seep down into the French drain, and then it can pipe it away from this spot.
Yeah, we're not low enough to dig a trench, but that's what I was thinking of, digging a trench out to the street.
Yeah, I mean, the French drain is going to be below the surface, but it's not going to be all that deep, but it's going to also, you know, have a slight swale to it, so a low spot, so the water will collect there and go down and be piped around.
Okay, because I do it myself, but I don't think we have enough swale to get it down to the street.
Right.
So I guess a landscape service is who you call.
Yeah, just a a landscape service again, and you want a French drain.
Okay.
Or if they're going to be there. They're going to see the site. They're going to, you know, talk to you about it. If they think they can do it with a swale and move the water, then that's fine. But a French drain, what it is a PVC pipe, plastic PVC pipe with holes that has a sock on it. And then that's put right below the surface, a couple inches down. And then the water, as I said, as it approaches, it drops down into the PVC pipe and then is shipped around or, you know, sent around to the area where it's going to exit.
Okay, I don't think the water is very heavy. I think it's kind of just, you know, just like the sprinklers just...
Yeah, I don't understand why they would be watering that much. That just doesn't seem logical.
Well, it's probably because there's two of them. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much.
Sure. And now let's go over to Raymond's yard. Hi, Raymond.
Good morning, Mike. I dethatched my yard at the beginning of the week, and I didn't realize, you know, it was going to get this hot, and I was planning on aerating and seeding this weekend. Is that a good thing to do with this heat, or should I just wait till fall or wait for a couple weeks?
I'd wait for a couple weeks. If it's going to get this hot, it's just going to be... First of all, if you're going to be doing the work yourself, it's too intense to be out there doing that kind of work physically yourself. And secondly, it's just not going to be, the grass seed's not going to germinate during this heat, but you might as well just wait for, you know, a week or two because the ground is still going to be warm and you're going to have success with it. So just kind of take it easy during this hot spell.
Should I use a starter fertilizer after I put it down?
Yeah, that would be certainly smart.
Okay. And when would be a good time? Do I have to wait till spring to put down a pre-emergent?
Well, if you're going to put seed down, lawn seed, you cannot put a pre-emergent down at the same time because a pre-emergent will kill the lawn seed as it germinates. Pre-emergents kill anything.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, could I wait a couple weeks or a month or wait till October or
you mean to put
wait
the pre-emergent
or spring?
You mean to, as far as the seeding goes, or the pre-emergent? The pre-emergent has to go down, you know, pretty much, you know, before the 1st of September.
Okay.
To be effective.
Okay, so then wait till spring to do the pre-emergent.
Yeah.
Or the emergent, whatever.
Well, you can, but I mean, there's two different kinds of major type of annual weeds. There's a cool season annual weed, and then there's a warm season annual weed. So the one that you would use, that you go after this time of year, putting the pre-emergent down in mid to late August, is like henbit, chickweed, annual bluegrass, and several other ones. Where the one for the warm season, which goes down when the forsythia is in bloom, is like that's where the crabgrass, barnyard grass, and knotweed, purslane, and ragweed, and all that other stuff.
Okay, so don't put down no pre-emergent after I seed
right. This
year.
Right.
This year.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your show.
Sure. My pleasure. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Where should we go? Let's head over to Dave's yard. Hi, Dave.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm not a farmer, but when it's time for tomatoes and cucumbers, I think people think I am. I'm an old guy that carries on a family tradition, 200 to 300 tomato plants, 50 hills of cucumbers, zucchini, whatever.
Whoa.
I don't sell any of it. Usually I give it away. The gentleman that called in about problems with just a few tomato plants, my one suggestion is tomatoes like water at times, and at times they don't want too much water, but if you're using city water instead of out of a hydrant with all the chemicals, try, just if you got a few plants, buying a jug of distilled water and use that, and you'll find that you have a lot better results.
Wow.
That's my opinion.
Great.
Now, I have a question. The first time in my life, last year, I had an invasive weed that was growing 1 to 2 feet, the vines, a day. I thought I got it killed off by burning it. I didn't know what it was. This year, it went across about 3/4 of an acre of tomatoes and cucumbers to where you couldn't even pull the weed out. I found out what the weed is. Now it is worse this year. I had never seen it in my life before, and I'm no youngster. But what it's called is Japanese hops. And I've now seen it growing along different roadways. What is the best way to kill these Japanese hops without putting something so strong on them that'll destroy my 3/4 of an acre garden spot?
Yeah, that's a really a difficult one. But I would say it's probably coming back from seed. So consequently, I'd think about using a pre-emergent because none of the plants that you're growing from an edible standpoint, you're growing from plant material. You're not growing them from seed, correct?
Cucumbers are from seed.
Okay. So just keep it out of the cucumber area, but any place where you're putting plants in, I would get a pre-emergent and put it down.
Okay. I appreciate that, and I would just like to say that I live in Madison County, Illinois, across the river, but I've seen it now along a lot of the roadways, and I think the way it's spreading is when the highway department comes along, if you live out in a rural area, the highway department comes along with their tractors and their brush hogs.
Right.
I think they're moving it because I've seen it now around Maryville, Illinois, Collinsville, and this, you can't, don't try and pull that weed without leather gloves on, or you will tear your arms and hands up.
Ooh.
The thorns on it are on not only on the leaves, but there's thorns on the stems as well.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and it's called Japanese hops. If you look at the Missouri website, they got some ways of killing it, but I get that, but I was just wondering, you know, the best way so I don't destroy my garden area.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah. It you might ask some of your other people if or check into that. Japanese hops, I didn't know what it was, and like I said, I'm in my late 70s, and I've never seen it in my life before in this area.
Now, does it have, like, small white flowers?
Very tiny, but, I mean, they're just like a bud.
Right.
The state of Missouri, if you go in and put in Japanese hops, and the state has pictures of it, and you can see it on the Internet. It's got a leaf that gets maybe 8 to 10 inches in diameter with maybe 4 or 5 different spurs that are on that leaf. And again, the root system isn't real deep, but when you go to pull those up, if you've just got any regular gloves on, it's just like having a bunch of little razor blades in your hand.
Mm.
So that's all I got. I'll try a pre-emergent, okay?
Yeah, I think that's going to be your best choice. And probably it's not, you know, it's you know, this is probably a weed that what it's developed to the point to be, first of all, as aggressive as it is, but also by having that, like, really, let's say, spiny type hairy stuff along the stems, that prevents...
And the leaves.
Yeah. On the leaves, too?
Yes.
Whoa. I just thought it was on the stems, because if it's on the leaves as well, it's probably, I mean, it's developed itself to protect it from, you know, any kind of animal grazing on it, be it a cow,
correct,
be it a deer, be it anything.
Right.
So.
Well, I don't have any deer. But I got plenty of rabbits and squirrels, and they love eating tomatoes, but that's why you got to plant like 300 plants so that they can have their share, too.
Right, exactly.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. And
okay.
Sarah, can you do it kind of quick?
Yeah, I can try.
Okay.
I am calling because I have a weed problem as well. We have kudzu that's traveling all over our yard, coming up in my flower beds. I'm just wondering if you have advice for the best way to get rid of that, especially in areas where I already have established plants that I don't want to hurt.
Yeah, that's a, you know, kudzu is a really a tough one to get rid of in that, you know, in that type of situation. So but what I would probably do is just use, again, an all-purpose herbicide, broadleaf weed killer, and just watch for it. And as soon as it starts germinating and coming up and growing, paint right onto the foliage of that plant and stay away from getting it on, you know, the herbicide on the other plant materials that you want to keep. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. We will try that.
Yeah. So in other words, just a paintbrush and let's say a bowl or whatever, a jar, mason jar of herbicide, and go after it that way.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure. My pleasure. And looks like we probably can't squeeze in another call. So Dee Dee, Gloria, Karen, Marianne, and Linda, we'll talk to you after the news. So guess what, folks? Thank you, Scott. And this is the KM West Garden Hotline second hour, which is the tip of the trowel, a special on-air recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me and this during the past week or whatever. And it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Right now, if you have any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments related to the plant world, inside or out, you can just give us a call, as I said before, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Then we can talk about it. And thanks for inviting me into your show. And we can talk about which plant would work in this location, or why is this plant having some trouble, or how to care for it, or I'm kind of bored, but what can I do for as far as color going into the fall? Or how about those elephant ears and those cannas? Are they okay for another couple weeks, maybe a couple months? What about that cool season lawn? Should you be thinking about doing something to it very soon? How about the shrubs? How about your roses? Or, well, maybe that neighbor I really don't like and I want to kind of block them. What can I use as far as plant material to block my neighbor looking at me or me looking at him? Anyway, I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path that will take you to success, but strictly offered for you to consider. Another very important player is and member of the team, really the director of the team, is Drew. Drew answers the phone. He pushes all the buttons. All I have to do is sit here and just jabber away. And I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. And besides our Saturday morning get-together, I can come out to your plant world for an on-site consultation, a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, there's going to be my email address and phone number, and you can contact me. As I said during the first hour, today after the show, I'm headed over to Flora Place, which is right there by the Botanical Garden. So this, as I said, tip of the trowel is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Speaking of hot temperatures and everything else, tip of the trowel goes out to all the post office employees. Everybody from the guys and women that drive the giant tractor trailers hauling all the mail all over the metropolitan area to the person that's just behind the counter that advises you on you should probably use this box versus that box. This tape will work better for you, blah, 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 blah. So the post office has great, and the people that deliver the mail are the lady that delivers our mail. She's been for a couple years very nice, very delightful, has a great smile and everything else. And so tip of the trowel again goes out to all the post office, United States Post Office employees. And they are diverse and just absolutely amazing. So thank you, all you post office employees. Let's go ahead and take a couple calls before we take a break. Let's go to the Dee Dee's. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi. Is it okay to prune yews now? Of course, I would wait until after next week's high temperature spell.
Yeah, you should be fine.
Okay. And also, I bought some perennial verbena plants this year, thinking that they would provide a lot of pretty flowers throughout the season through fall. And I do not have many pretty blooms. Is that a plant that needs to be trimmed in order to rebloom, or?
Well, also, it's a perennial, so it takes them a couple years to get established before you're going to get the full show. But
okay.
That's with pretty much any perennial. You're not going to get, you know, an exaggerated amount of, let's say, aesthetic value within the first one or two, or even 3 years.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. And now, is the verbena you bought, is it like a lemon verbena, so it had fragrant foliage?
No.
Okay.
Let's see. The one is called, let's see. I have it here. Homestead Hot Pink.
Okay.
And Homestead Purple.
Okay. So I was just curious because some of the other ones that are perennials, they're not really that showy as far as the flowering goes, but they have very fragrant foliage.
Oh my gosh, okay. I'll have to look into that too. Okay, thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. And let's see what's going on with Gloria. Hi, Gloria.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
I was calling you about all these weeds and stuff in my yard. Some of them look like they're leaving. But that pre-mate, pre-murder stuff you're saying, can I put that down to try to kill the rest? Some of them look like they're leaving, but can I put put that down and it'll kill, or should I use feed that other stuff, weed and feed?
Well, it all depends on what type of weeds. The only thing that a pre-emergent kills is an annual type weed that's coming up from seed. It will not kill perennial weeds. So, in other words, it won't kill a dandelion. It won't kill a violet. It won't kill those type things. It will kill things that are coming, growing from seed only.
I don't know what kind of weeds these is. So, I talked to Alan Tree Service. He said I can't put those grass. Will the weeds leave by themselves when it get cold, or before I put my grass seed down?
Well, you're going to put your grass seed down before it gets too cold.
I know it. I usually do it after, they say, September 26th.
Yeah, that's fine. Just get it down before Halloween.
But I got to get the weeds out first, don't I?
Well, it just depends upon what these, what the weeds are.
I don't know. They look like thick grass. They're not the ones with the yellow and all that other stuff. They just, wild. They just look like they're wild weeds, but they're real thick. I can't hardly get them up.
Well, I would dig up a couple and take it to your favorite garden center and have them ID it, and then you can go after it, after you know specifically what it is.
Oh, okay. So I have to get the weeds up before I put the grass seed down.
Well, you don't have to, but it's to the advantage of your lawn just in general to get the weeds under control.
What about that weed that these you buy in the bottle at Home Depot for like $10? And put on your water hose.
Usually a weed and feed type thing only kills broadleaf weeds. So in other words, ones that have wider leaves. If the weeds that you're having problems with have narrow blades like grass, like lawn, then it's not going to do a thing against those.
And I think that guy that said something about the tomato plants. I'm about to start buying me some of that water because vines don't do good at all. And this is my second year; they didn't really do good at all.
Okay.
I got them, but they all came up small. Only squirrels only got two of them, but they came up real small, and but not the big ones. I got two big ones out of 10 plants.
Ooh.
But the rest of them, you're right. I usually buy about 10. So if the squirrels want to have some company, I just, But it's like I say, I ain't have no problem with two. And one more question, I'll let you go right quick. These watermelons and stuff that I plant, they coming up, but they like a small ball. And I wonder, are they going to get bigger or what?
It's the days are starting to get shorter, so the chances of them getting to mature size or even just mature, even being small, is going to be minimal.
So is it a certain time that I have to plant those watermelons?
Early in the season.
Like March, April?
Yeah.
I mean, March.
Yeah, as soon as the ground starts warming up.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sorry I asked you so many stuff. Thank you.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's see what's going on in Karen's yard. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Mike. I have a question about an oak tree. We cut it down last year.
Okay.
It had the galls all over. It was killing it. And so I've left it go for a year. I had all of the bottom part cut up, with one of those machines they come with and chop it up.
Yeah.
Yes, and so it's been sitting there for a year, and I wanted to know, does that make good mulch? I know I can't grow any grass there unless I dig it all out, so is it good for anything?
you can use it as a mulch, but just realize since it's so raw, that consequently it can bind up some nutrients and cause more problems than it's going to be doing good. So what I would do is pile it up and just kind of let it cook for another year or so, and then go ahead and spread it as a mulch.
Okay. And then do I need to replace this hole? It's rather large because they had a very big tree. With good dirt so that I can then plant grass there. Will it grass ever grow there?
It's going to be multiple years before it's going to be able to. So even if you you think you're clearing everything out, there's still going to be root systems there that are going to continue to implode. And it, depending upon the health and the size and everything else, it could take any place between 3 to 5 years before they're going to implode entirely. So you're going to have success growing pretty much anything, to be honest.
Okay. So just let it be dirt, I guess.
Right. Just, I mean, okay. You could bring in a combination of topsoil. Once you get everything cleared out, topsoil, compost mix, and just put it in there and just kind of leave it alone for a while.
Okay. And then I'd like to plant another tree. Someone said you have to plant away from where this tree was.
Yes, because of what I was talking about, just trying to grow grass or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
The root system's still there, and the root system doesn't know that it's been beheaded, so it's going to continue to absorb nutrients and moisture and other things. Each year it's going to be less and less and less until it finally just basically dies.
Okay. So then to plant, obviously I'm not going to plant a tree in the same spot probably ever.
So probably, like 15 feet away, 15 or 20 feet. And I would probe around to make sure that you're not going to be planting it right on top of a, you know, a root system that's, you know, from the oak tree that you had cut down. And just make sure you dig the hole 3 times the diameter of the root ball of the tree that you're planting, but only about 80% is deep. So in other words, the top of the root ball will be above the surrounding ground.
Oh, okay. And is a Crimson King maple a pretty good tree for Missouri?
It's okay. Yeah.
Every tree I look up, because I don't want any tree with problems, but every tree seems to come with something.
Of course. That's just reality.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, and I love your show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on your show. And let's see, where should we go? Let's go over to Linda's yard. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
We have 2 mature azalea pucanenses. We have never had this problem with them before. Instead of having the normal deep green foliage, the leaves are sort of speckled.
Ooh.
You had something on a couple of weeks ago about how to treat this. I believe you said insecticidal soap instead of a dormant oil spray.
You could certainly, yeah. I mean, the dormant oil spray, you can't, unless you're using a summer weight type, you can't use because of the fact that it's too thick and dense and it'll really kill your plant.
Mm-hmm.
So use the insecticidal soap. Try spraying on the make sure that you spray on the underside of the leaf. It sounds like you might have thrips.
Okay. The bottle said do not use if the temperatures are above 90.
Right.
Now, does that mean at the time of application, or does that mean for the high for the day?
Basically for, that whole day that you're going to put it on. Or like with the forecast, the way it is, since they're predicting going to be high temperatures for 3 or 4 days in a row, I wouldn't apply it at that time at all.
Then you recommend waiting until the weather cools back down.
Yes.
Okay, then, I think that answers it.
And then next year, go after them early before you start seeing this speckling.
Okay, so you say you think it's thrips.
Yeah.
And will it help the shrub if I do it, after it cools back down?
Well, basically you're going to try to get rid of the insects, but so it's not going to change the let's say the color of the leaves. It's not going to do that.
I realize that it will not cause them to turn back to their normal green, but hopefully it will kill off the insects and therefore save the shrub.
Right, and then make it so the new foliage that emerges won't have the problem.
Then sometime during the winter, should I use the dormant oil spray as a preventative for next year?
You could give that a yeah. Just make sure that it's, you know, that you read the label and make sure that you can use it on that particular type of azalea or any type of shrub that you're going to be using it on.
These are the Azalea pucinensis.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Well, thank you very much for your expert advice.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
The pucinensis, those are pretty tough azaleas, so.
They have performed beautifully for many years.
Right.
Thank you.
Yep. And let's see. We can get another call in before break. And let's see what's going on with Mary Ann. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hey. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have got, I have a gravel area and out in the front of my yard. It's the only place I have sun, so I plant things there. And a couple years ago, I planted some black-eyed Susans. And they came up beautifully, and they grew like crazy. And then the next year, or maybe 2 years later, they got that black, the leaves all turned black, spotty black. So I kind of let them go that year. I didn't know what to do. Then the following year, they were still black. So I sprayed them with some sort of a fungicide. And then they didn't, the black stuff went away, but they didn't bloom. Oh, and I also put some of my own compost that I make on that area. And now they're not blooming and they're just little, it's just like a little patch of green. So what do you think?
Well, you know, it sounds like the soil's in not really good shape. So, in other words, the compost, you can't just lay it on top of the ground. You have to work it down into the ground, into the soil, to improve the soil, to make the soil healthy so you can get, you know, good growth out of any kind of plant material that you're using. And I'd probably consider just getting some new ones as well.
Just get some new plants.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, you can leave these and, you know, see what happens, but they don't sound all that healthy. Let's put it that way.
No, they don't seem very healthy. I was hoping that you would have some miracle for me. Okay. Well, but you know, did I mention that it's gravel? And someone years ago put gravel out there, and I some places that gravel is a foot thick.
Ooh.
And I dig through it as much as I can, and then I get down to where that plastic is, and
ooh,
I dig that plastic out. And I've had some success out there with the cone flowers and things, you know.
Right.
But in order to get down into the dirt, it's just such a struggle.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Ryder remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
prune yews now? Of course, I would wait until after next week's high temperature spell.
Yeah, you should be fine.
Okay. And also, I bought some perennial verbena plants this year, thinking that they would provide a lot of pretty flowers throughout the season through fall. And I do not have many pretty blooms. Is that a plant that needs to be trimmed in order to rebloom, or?
Well, also, it's a perennial, so it takes them a couple years to get established before you're going to get the full show. But
okay.
That's with pretty much any perennial. You're not going to get, you know, an exaggerated amount of, let's say, aesthetic value within the first one or two, or even 3 years.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. And now, is the verbena you bought, is it like a lemon verbena, so it had fragrant foliage?
No.
Okay.
Let's see. The one is called, let's see, I have it here, Homestead Hot Pink.
Okay.
And Homestead Purple.
Okay. So I was just curious because some of the other ones that are perennials, they're not really that showy as far as the flowering goes, but they have very fragrant foliage.
Oh my gosh! Okay, I'll have to look into that too. Okay, thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. And let's see what's going on with Gloria. Hi, Gloria.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
I was calling you about all these weeds and stuff in my yard. Some of them look like they're leaving. But that pre-mate, pre-murder stuff you're saying, can I put that down to try to kill the rest? Some of them look like they're leaving, but can I put that down and it'll kill, or should I use feed that other stuff, weed and feed?
Well, it all depends on what type of weeds. The only thing that a pre-emergent kills is an annual type weed that's coming up from seed. It will not kill perennial weeds. So in other words, it won't kill a dandelion. It won't kill a violet. It won't kill those type things. It will kill things that are coming, growing from seed only.
I don't know what kind of weeds these is. So I talked to Alan Treat, he said I can't put those grass. Will the weeds leave by themselves when it get cold, or I put my grass seed down?
Well, you're going to put your grass seed down before it gets too cold.
I know, and I usually do it after, they say, September 26th.
Yeah, that's fine. Just get it down before Halloween.
But I got to get the weeds out first, don't I?
Well, it just depends upon what these, you know, what the weeds are.
I don't know. They look like thick grass. They're not the ones with the yellow and all that other. They just, you know, wild. They just look like they're wild weeds, but they're real thick. I can't hardly get them up.
Well, I would dig up a couple and take it to your favorite garden center and have them ID it, and then you can go after it, you know, after you know specifically what it is.
Oh, okay. So I have to get the weeds up before I put the grass seed down.
Well, you don't have to, but it's to the advantage of your lawn just in general to get the weeds under control.
What about that weed that these you buy in the bottle at Home Depot for like $10? And put on your water hose.
Usually a weed and feed type thing only kills broadleaf weeds. So in other words, ones that have wider leaves. If the weeds that you're having problems with have narrow blades like grass, like lawn, then it's not going to do a thing against those.
And I think that guy that said something about the tomato plants. I'm about to start buying me some of that water because vines don't do good at all. And this is my second year. They didn't really do good at all.
Oh, okay.
I got them, but they all came up small. You know, only squirrels only got two of them, but they came up real small. And but not the big ones. I got two big ones out of 10 plants.
Ooh.
But
gosh.
The rest of them, you're right. I usually buy about 10. So if the squirrels want to have some company, I just, you know. But
It's like I say, I ain't have no problem with two. And one more question, I'll let you go right quick. These watermelons and stuff that I plant, they coming up, but they like a small ball. And I wonder, are they going to get bigger or what?
It's the days are starting to get shorter, so the chances of them getting to mature size or even just mature, even being small, is going to be minimal.
So it's at a certain time that I have to plant those watermelons?
Early in the season.
Like March, April?
Yeah.
I mean, like March?
Yeah, as soon as the ground starts warming up.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sorry I asked you so many stuff. Thank you.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's see what's going on in Karen's yard. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Mike. I have a question about an oak tree. We cut it down last year.
Okay.
It had the galls all over. It was killing it. And so I've left it go for a year. I had all of the bottom part cut up, you know, with one of those machines they come with and chop it up.
Yeah.
Yes, and so it's been sitting there for a year, and I wanted to know, does that make good mulch? I know I can't grow any grass there unless I dig it all out, so is it good for anything?
you can use it as a mulch, but just realize since it's so raw that consequently it can bind up some nutrients and cause more problems than it's going to be doing good. So what I would do is pile it up and just kind of let it cook for another year or so, and then go ahead and spread it as a mulch.
Okay. And then do I need to replace this hole? It's rather large because they had a very big tree.
Uh-huh.
With good dirt so that I can then plant grass there. Will it grass ever grow there?
It's going to be multiple years before it's going to be able to. So even if you think you're clearing everything out, there's still going to be root systems there that are going to continue to implode. And it, depending upon the health and the size and everything else, it could take any place between 3 to 5 years before they're going to implode entirely. So you're going to have success growing pretty much anything, to be honest.
Okay. So just let it be dirt, I guess.
You could bring in a combination of topsoil. Once you get everything cleared out, topsoil, compost mix, and just put it in there and just kind of leave it alone for a while.
Okay. And then I'd like to plant another tree. Someone said you have to plant away from where this tree was.
Yes. Because of what I was talking about, just trying to grow grass or anything else,
mm-hmm.
the root system's still there, and the root system doesn't know that it's been beheaded, so it's going to continue to absorb nutrients and moisture and other things. Each year, it's going to be less and less and less until it finally mm-hmm. just basically dies.
Okay. So then to plant, I'm not going to plant a tree in the same spot probably ever.
So probably 15 feet away, 15 or 20 feet. And I would probe around to make sure that you're not going to be planting it right on top of a root system that's, from the oak tree that you had cut down. And just make sure you dig the hole 3 times the diameter of the root ball of the tree that you're planting, but only about 80% as deep. So in other words, the top of the root ball will be above the surrounding ground.
Oh, okay. And is a Crimson King maple a pretty good tree for Missouri?
It's okay. Yeah.
Every tree I look up, because I don't want any tree with problems, but every tree seems to come with something.
Of course. that's just reality.
yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, and I love your show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on your show. And let's see, where should we go? Let's go over to Linda's yard. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
We have two mature Azalea pucanenses. We have never had this problem with them before. Instead of having the normal deep green foliage, the leaves are sort of speckled.
Ooh.
You had something on a couple of weeks ago about how to treat this. I believe you said insecticidal soap instead of a dormant oil spray.
You could certainly, yeah. I mean, the dormant oil spray, you can't, unless you're using a summer weight type, you can't use because of the fact that it's too thick and dense and it'll really kill your plant. So use the insecticidal soap. Try spraying on the make sure that you spray on the underside of the leaf. It sounds like you might have thrips.
Okay. The bottle said do not use if the temperatures are above 90.
Right.
Now, does that mean at the time of application, or does that mean for the high for the day?
That whole day that you're going to put it on, or like with the forecast the way it is, since they're predicting going to be high temperatures for 3 or 4 days in a row, I wouldn't apply it at that time at all.
Then you recommend waiting until the weather cools back down.
Yes.
Okay, then, I think that answers it.
And then next year, go after them early before you start seeing this speckling.
Okay, so you say you think it's thrips.
Yeah.
And will it help the shrub if I do it, after it cools back down?
Well, basically you're going to try to get rid of the insects, but so it's not going to change the color of the leaves. It's not going to do that.
Realize that it will not cause them to turn back to their normal green, but hopefully it will kill off the insects and therefore save the shrub.
Right, and then make it so the new foliage that emerges won't have the problem.
Then sometime during the winter, should I use the dormant oil spray as a preventative for next year?
You could give that Just make sure that it's, you read the label and make sure that you can use it on that particular type of azalea or any type of shrub that you're going to be using it on.
These are the Azalea pucanensis.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Well, thank you very much for your expert advice.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
The pucanensis, those are pretty tough azaleas, so.
They have performed beautifully for many years.
Right.
Thank you.
Yep. And let's see, we can get another call in before break, and let's see what's going on with Mary Ann. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hey, hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have got, I have a gravel area out in the front of my yard. It's the only place I have sun, so I plant things there. And a couple years ago, I planted some black-eyed Susans, and they came up beautifully, and they grew like crazy. And then the next year, or maybe 2 years later, they got that black, the leaves all turned black, spotty black. So I kind of let them go that year. I didn't know what to do. Then the following year, they were still black. So I sprayed them with some sort of a fungicide. And then they didn't, the black stuff went away, but they didn't bloom. Oh, and I also put some of my own compost that I make on that area. And now they're not blooming, and they're just little, it's just like a little patch of green. So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like the soil's in not really good shape. So, in other words, the compost, you can't just lay it on top of the ground. You have to work it down into the ground, into the soil, to improve the soil, to make the soil healthy so you can get good growth out of any kind of plant material that you're using. And I'd probably consider just getting some new ones as well.
Just get some new plants.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, you can leave these and, you know, see what happens, but they don't sound all that healthy. Let's put it that way.
No, they don't seem very healthy. I was hoping that you would have some miracle for me. Okay. Well, but, you know, did I mention that it's gravel? And someone years ago put gravel out there, and I some places that gravel is a foot thick.
Ooh.
And I dig through it as much as I can, and then I get down to where that plastic is, and
ooh,
I dig that plastic out. And I've had some success out there with the coneflowers and things, you know.
Right.
But in order to get down into the dirt, it's just such a struggle. So maybe I just won't have black-eyed Susans anymore. I'm getting tired of doing it, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like a very difficult, horrible circumstance to try to grow anything. So if you've had success with some things, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Sure. 314. Mm-hmm. 436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages. Yes, back to the phones we go, and let's see. Let's see what's going on in Linda's yard. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I need a recommendation. I have about a 3-foot by 12-foot bed on the east side of the house. I don't know what used to be in there, but it's just a bunch of just weedy junk. So we got to pull that out. But I'd like to have something in there that's, I don't know, just decent, that is a perennial. We have a lot of clay soil, and it's facing east. What do you have to recommend?
Well, basically, you should improve the soil. If it's heavy-duty clay, then you should get some compost topsoil mix and mix it in with the existing soil that you have.
Okay.
And then it's kind of a pick-and-choose type thing. So there's lots of different things. You said it's 3 by 12?
Yeah.
So it's relatively small. I would probably, how many hours of sun does it get?
Well, it's just facing directly east, so whatever, maybe like 6 hours.
I would think maybe take a look at, let's say, a plant called Coreopsis and get Coreopsis, moonbeam, and that way it blooms for pretty much the entire summertime.
Okay, great. And then I was thinking like a crepe myrtle, but that's too close to the house, isn't it, for that?
Yeah, right, it is.
Okay. All right, well, I'll try the Coreopsis then. Yeah, I have some of those out front, so that'd be great.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck with that.
Okay, and thanks. Bye-bye.
Let's see what's going on in Tom's yard. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Two questions. First one's about squirrels. I got a situation where a squirrel is chewing on the wooden railing of a fence. I thought I've heard you comment to people in the past, either hopefully a spray or something you would paint on that railing that would convince the squirrels to go someplace else.
Yeah, there's a product called Predator P.
I got to write that down, but I can't.
PredatorP.com. So just look at that website and, you know, and check that product
out. It's a website.
Out.
I'm sorry. It's not a product?
Yeah, it is a product. It's a company that makes Predator P.
Cutterer, C-U-T-T-E-R?
Predator. P.
Oh, Predator.
R-E, like.
Okay.
PredatorP.com.
Okay, second question. I've got oh, my gosh. The dogwood has been in about 6 years. It's about, 10 foot tall. The two lower branches, the one that kind of goes out to the right, obviously is dead. The leaves are not green. And I have another branch that goes out the other direction. It's a little bigger, maybe 4 or 5 foot long and diameter of about an inch. Any time of the year I can cut those off, or should I wait a while?
If they're dead, just cut them off. You don't have to wait.
Well, one is dead, the other one isn't.
Okay, so if you do any kind of pruning, you know, I would say minimize pruning other than just getting rid of the dead stuff.
Okay. But no, do it at any time, though, huh?
Yeah, as far as getting rid of anything that's, you know, that's dead, you can do that at any time. And sometimes it's better to get rid of it as faster rather than waiting.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yep. Good luck with that. And let's see. About, let's go and see what's going on with Fred. Hi, Fred.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm thinking about grass and this tremendous heat coming up. My grass is doing well, and I want to keep it that way. Watering, I'm doing some watering, obviously. But is there any fertilizer? I know can't put it down in the terrific heat, but later on, is there a weed control that I need to put down?
Not necessarily. If your lawn is healthy and doesn't have a major amount of weed problems, I would say don't worry about the weeds. Just try to keep your lawn as healthy as possible. Now, is it a cool season lawn, I'm assuming?
I'm sorry?
Is it cool season?
It's a zoysia.
Okay. So it's a warm season. You're really getting to the end of fertilizing season with the zoysia.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to do one fertilizing, I'd certainly get it done before mid-September. That would be the absolute latest.
Okay. And so any fertilizer for greening, or is that season over?
Basically, it's going to be heading downhill. So you're fertilizing just to, you know, give the overall plant just a healthy little boost, a little meal before it goes to sleep for winter time.
Okay, and what fertilizer is that? Nitrogen or
no? You don't want a high nitrogen. You want a low nitrogen. So the first number is fairly low. So like a 5-10-10. But maybe before you even fertilize, you should get a soil test done and find out what kind of nutrients are in your soil. So then that way you can specifically get a fertilizer for what your soil needs.
Right. Yes. Okay. That's a good recommendation.
Because if you put a fertilizer down and it has a lot of, let's say, a high phosphorus or a high potassium, which are the second and the third number off the main numbers with fertilizer, it could be detrimental to the lawn as opposed to being positive.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I love your show.
Well, thanks. Yeah, so use University of Missouri Extension Service. They have an office in Kirkwood. You can drop a soil sample off and get a soil test done before you do any kind of fertilizing whatsoever. And let's see what's happening in Debbie's yard. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good.
Okay, I would like to address the lady that called in about her azaleas looking kind of mottled and grayish leaves.
Uh-huh.
I had that same thing happen to me last year, and upon closer inspection of the leaves, I found that I had a really bad infestation of azalea lace bugs.
Ah.
And they're a sucking insect, and they're mainly on the underside of the leaves, and you'll have little black tar spots underneath that. And so I noticed it, like, it was probably about this time of year that I noticed it. And so I sprayed it with some neem oil, a couple of applications a week apart or whatever. Still had them. So I resorted to a systemic and put that down. And it was, of course, after it was blooming, so I didn't have any pollinators or anything on it. But then I also kept a close eye on it in this spring, and it bloomed beautifully. So the lace bugs didn't really do much damage except aesthetically. And so I kept my eye out for it. And after it was done blooming again, I sprayed it again with a systemic. So yeah, it's looking pretty good. I think there's a few on there right now, and I think I might spray it one more time after this heat spell is over with. And you know, so it can go into the winter pretty healthy. But they're azalea lace bugs, and they just appeared out of nowhere for me.
Okay, so azalea lace bugs versus the thrips. But I knew it was something that was sucking, you know, on the underside of the leaf.
Yeah, definitely. They're kind of pretty bugs. They're little bitty, but they got lace wings, and they're kind of pretty, but they kind of do damage to your azaleas. And thanks for your show. I really appreciate it. I listen every Saturday morning.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for having me on your show. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, we're headed to Jack's yard. Hi, Jack.
And I've got a hydrangea bush that was planted the end of June out in our front yard. And all the stems are laying on the ground because I got these big, beautiful flowers on them. Should I cut the flowers off so the plant stands up?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I'm assuming it's not blooming anymore. It's already finished blooming. So you're seeing the bracts, which are left over from the flowers. But, you know, talked about earlier when I walked outside the post office here downtown, some of the hydrangeas, you know, they were virtually all bracts. So in other words, spent flowers. But there were still some blooms on it. But if this is that young, I would go ahead and cut them off.
Cut them all off, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, how far back do I cut them?
Just cut them just below to where the flower is.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yep. And now let's see what's happening in Walter's yard. Hi, Walter.
Hi, Mike. Hi. I had a couple questions about, one about cannons. Is there any advantage or disadvantage to deadheading them?
For the most part, no.
Okay. I don't like the way the dead flowers look, so I chop them off, and I thought I didn't know if I needed to leave them or not. But.
No. It's an aesthetic call, and it's not going to make them flower any more than what they would flower anyway. And, the spent flowers are not really all that attractive. They're just little round balls, basically.
Yeah. Okay, and I was wondering, I grow tomatoes in South City, so I have them in a cage. They're completely inside of a cage, so the squirrels don't get them. They're just starting to come back for a second growth, like they're blooming again and starting new for fall life. And I was wondering if it would help them for the next few days if I covered the top of the cage with a blanket or a sheet or something to keep the intense sun off of them.
No, it's not the sun is not all that important. As far as the length of the sun and everything else, it's just the heat. And as long as you're keeping the soil, you know, moist, then you should be fine.
Okay. That's all I got. Thank you very much.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And now let's go and see what's happening with Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Morning. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question on oleander. I've got 6 or 7 big pots of it. And I'm hearing it's poisonous. How poisonous is it? Can you get poisoned by touching it? All that kind of thing.
Basically, it's only poisonous from the standpoint of eating. So in other words, just having the plant around. I mean, if you have very sensitive skin, it may cause a little bit of a rash, but it's not something to be overly concerned with.
Okay, so only for eating, which we won't do. Okay, thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure.
All right, bye now.
Yeah, it looks like we got a little bit of a problem all of a sudden. Ooh, we went down. Wendy. Okay, Wendy, how are you today? Hello, Wendy?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Very good.
Good, good. I have a question. I have spider mites. And we were going to put down some of that diatomaceous earth on it to kill the spider mites. And is it okay to do that with this heat approaching? I'd read online it is, but I wanted to check with you.
Yeah, it should be okay because it
should be okay.
Yeah, it's not a liquid. It's not a liquid. That's where the problem would be.
Okay. No, it's a powder.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Great. All righty. Thank you so much, and thank you for your show.
Sure. My pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mel. And now let's head over to Mel's yard. Hi, Mel.
I have a boxwood plant, and I have canned colored leaves on it, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
If they're interior foliage, so down towards the center, or is it at the tip of the branch?
It's a little leaf, but it's practically all over. It's only on the edges, but then you cut some of it away, and it's pretty much in the plant.
Yeah. It's just probably it's weather-related. The boxwood have had a kind of a difficult year just in general with the cold snap last fall and then just the heat and everything else and the dry. And so there's not really too much you can do.
You don't think it's a fungus?
No, I don't. I think it's weather related more so than anything else. And I'm kind of speaking of the fact that I have two boxwood myself, and I've been kind of watching them, plus all the callers that we've had. And it's just been a chronic problem with the boxwood, just kind of in general.
Well, I have quite a few of them, and this is the only one that it's affected.
Yeah.
Another question. I have quite a few houseplants, and I have these little gnats flying around.
Ooh.
I can kill them by just putting containers of water on, but I want to get to the root of it and kill the whole thing, you know, before they're hatched or whatever. So what do you suggest?
I would get an insecticide and go to your favorite garden center and tell them that you have the gnats. And what you want to do is you want to get an insecticide that you pour on top of the potting mix. And that should help get them under control. But
I've had a spray, and that's what I've used twice. But I still have them. But get something to put on the top of the soil.
Right, exactly. Right. It'll probably be it could be a granular, it could be a powder that's you mix with water and just pour it on top of the potting mix.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot.
Sure, my pleasure.
Your show.
Well,
bye-bye.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody for calling in. This is a time of year where chrysanthemums are really going to start showing up in all the garden centers, and they are absolutely fantastic. Especially, they've been growing in a greenhouse and everything else, so just really enjoy. I treat the chrysanthemums personally. I know they're perennial plants. I don't grow them from small ones in the springtime or anything else. I just get a couple pots and just sit them around for some color this time of year. And chrysanthemum is the second most popular flower in the world, second only to the roses. That's kind of hard to believe, but that's, the case. And they were just, they do take a lot of work to really make them nice and bushy. That's why I'm just too lazy to go ahead and do that myself. But they were first introduced into the Western world in the 17th century. Can you possibly believe that? And today there are over 20,000 cultivars of chrysanthemums worldwide. So that's a lot of different things. And they're in the sunflower family. I like the foliage as well as the flower. And I just said, there's so many different types of cultivars, as well as so many different types of color, too. So it's just kind of nice to set a few pots around. As I said before, that's pretty much what I do every every fall, because I'm too lazy to grow them all season long. I like to grow other things, and you have to kind of just limit yourself to certain type things. The flowers are basically ray and disc type flowers, and they're really just neat. So my favorite perennial as far as fall goes is the aster. I like that. It's a little more. It's not quite as, let's say, stiff and rigid as what the mums are. But the asters, I don't have any in my landscape, but I certainly enjoy them when I'm walking around through the neighborhood or going various places. So be sure and enjoy. Just be prepared for this hot spell that's going to come. It's not going to really create a real disaster for your plant material. So just make sure that you take care of yourself and your pets and everything else as far as related to this heat, because it could be really bad news. But plants should be okay. Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline. I will see you next week.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.